Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf Zayin. And we begin about 9 lines down from the words Tanu Rabbanan. And we discuss the following situation in this Braisa. Tanu Rabbanan. The Braisa begins as follows. Tvua Tzibura. Tvua, grain that is collected. Now on the side, it brings up from the Shiltos that we don't say the word Tzibura. It's going to be mentioned a couple of times over here in the Gemara. Tvua Tzibura. So he says it doesn't have to be that it's collected. It's just Tvua. Rashi says, the idea behind Sibur is a muhacha milsa, that it's clear the huktzah leotzah, that this person wasn't planning on using it. The fact that he's piling it up, this is like a demonstration that this grain is not going to be able to be used on Shabbos because you're storing it for later usage. What possible usage could it have on Shabbos that we're going to say that you're allowed to use it? It's because it's animal fodder. It could be given directly to your animals. The grain could be fed to the animals. In any event, the Braisa says that this tvua tzibura, you have this tvua over here that's not planned on being used on Shabbos. So bizman shehizkru bo, the Erev Shabbos, if you had already started using it from Erev Shabbos, so then it's clear that you want to use it. Mutu listapik b'merev Shabbos. You'd be allowed to feed it to your animals on Shabbos. Rashi says lahachil b'lehemto. And the reason is because you've already started using it. You've demonstrated that this is for Shabbos usage. V'imlav, but if you did not start using it before Shabbos, so then it's as if you demonstrated that you want to use it for long-term usage and not for this Shabbos, and therefore also stop it b'merev Shabbos. You wouldn't be allowed to go use it on Shabbos. It's Muktzah Divrei Rabbi Shimon. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now, the Gemara is going to question in a moment. Rabbi Shimon throughout Shas, throughout the Masechta, is the one that says that we're very makel in Hilchos Muktzah. He doesn't hold for Muktzah except for Grogros and smukin, the type of dried fruits that are absolutely inedible, so they're definitely muktzah, but otherwise he's very, very makel and doesn't hold that most things are muktzah. So the Gemara is going to question in a moment, it's a pella, that this says Diri Rabbi Shimon. In any event, Rabbi Shimon here is machmir, according to this girsa, and says you're not allowed to use this stored away tvua, because it's muchach milsa that you didn't want to use it on Shabbos if you didn't start it before Shabbos. Rav Acha, on the other hand, is matir. He's more makel and says, yes, you're allowed to use this even if you didn't start it before Shabbos. So Gemara says, klapi laya? Really? Rashi explains that the lashon of klapi laya means keneged hechan pone hadover. It's the exact opposite of what you would have thought, which is exactly what I mentioned, that Rabbi Shimon throughout Shas is the makel opinion in regards to muktzah. As Rashi says, Rabbi Shimon matu muktzah b'chol mokom, v'kanu machmir? Doesn't make any sense that Rabbi Shimon would be machmir over here and Rabbi Acha would be Mekel. So Gemara says you're right. Ella Ema, the first opinion, the more machmir opinion, was Divri Rav Acha. That was Rav Acha's opinion, like Rav Yehuda, who holds that this is Muktzah. And it was Rabbi Shimon who was Matir. He's the more Mekel opinion. And we have a Braisa that says the same idea. Tana, we learn in the Braisa, Kamashir Tvua Tzibura. How much do you need to have collected over here, whether again with deleting the word tzibur or not, how much tvua is together in a place where we consider it that it's muchacha milsa, that it was huktza for later usage, and therefore it's muktza lesach. How much is a lesach? So Rashi reminds us that a lesach is going to be chatzi kor, half of a kor. A kor is 30 saw, so therefore lesach, half of a kor, is tes vav soin, is going to be 15 saw. So if you piled up that much wheat, you're demonstrating, according to the machmir opinion of Rav Acha, the machmir opinion of this braisa, that you are in fact not planning on using it on Shabbos unless you started it before Shabbos. Now the Gemara says, "Boy minei, Rav Nechumi bar Zechayi mei Abaye, Rav Nechumi bar Zechayi es Abaye." The following shaila: Shir tvua tzibura. Again, we delete the word tzibura according to the Shultos. If you have piled up wheat, bekama, how much is considered significant that it's piled up and that it's demonstrating that you don't want to use it that Shabbos? Amalei, Hariyamu, Shir Tvua, Tzibura, Lesach. As he said, the amount of piled up wheat that's considered significant is a Lesach. Ibaya Eluhu, they ask the following Shalom Beis Medrash, Hani Arba V'Chomish Kupos, that four or five large containers, these kupos that we said, the Kamar, that a person is allowed to go and move them to be mafana them if you need that space. So that which we said, the kamar be'arba v'chomesh kupos in, it's only those four or five large containers, these kupos that you're allowed to move, but tvei lo, more than that you're not allowed to. Rashi points out this goes according to the opinion, not like Shmuel. Shmuel said you're allowed to go and clear the entire area as long as you need that area, and it was Rav Chista. It's only according to his opinion, he said only five is the maximum. So when we said these five, more than that you're not allowed to, Alma, you see from this opinion, that it's preferable that we minimize the amount of trips that you take, and therefore only make five trips. or odilma lemute masri odif, or maybe it's actually better that you can take this amount that you could place into these four or five large kupos, but better to do it in 10 trips, 15 trips, 20 trips. That's the question that they asked in the base medrash. Toshma will bring a raya for the following brisa. The Tani Chod, in one brisa says, Mufanin, you're allowed to go and move these boxes, afilu arba v'chomish kupos, even these four or five large containers, shalkadi shemim, shalkadi yayim, to contain within them a number of jugs of oil or of wine. But we have another brisa of Tanya Edith that says, b'yesev v'chomish esrei, that you're allowed to do this with 10 or 15 of these Kade Shemin Kade Yain. So my love, so these two brises, Bahal Kamifli, aren't this exact question what these two brises are arguing about. The Marisova, one brise says, Miyutai Bihilucha Odiv. It's preferable to take fewer trips. So put everything into these large kupos and only make five trips. Umarisova, the other brise says, no. Miyutai Bimasi Odiv. It's better to take smaller amounts, don't take such a heavy load. Okay, you'll take the same amount of wine or oil, but take it in 10 or 15 trips rather than piling it together in these larger containers. So isn't that exactly the machlokas? So we have one brisa saying it's better to make fewer trips, another brisa says it's better to take a lot of trips. Moses says, low. In fact, the two brises aren't arguing with each other. Actually, everybody says that it's preferable to take less trips. And even though you're going to carry a heavier item, less trips is better. Gemara says, "Umis sabris." How do you reconcile one said 10 or 15, one said 4 or 5? Umis sabris be eser ubechomish esrei akupos koi. And who says it means 10 or 15 of these larger containers that it's referring to? Akad koi. It's talking about how many you can fit into the 4 or 5 large containers. Below kasha. Therefore, the two brises are not in opposition to each other. The first brice that it says only take 5, so that's because they were talking about large jugs of oil or of wine, and you can only fit one into each container. Therefore, you can only take 5 containers. And then the brice that says you could take 10, that's when you can fit 2 of these jugs of wine or oil into each kupa, and therefore you're taking 5 trips with 2 containers in each time you take a trip. And that which said you can take 15, that's when you can fit 3 of these jugs or containers of oil or wine into this one larger kupa. And how do you have such small jugs? And they're talking here about these smaller jugs that are commonly used. Bekadim shel harpanya, Rashi says, the jugs that were used in this place known as harpanya. Fine, so therefore the two brises are reconciled, and that actually it's preferable to take fewer trips with a heavier load each time than taking multiple small trips. They ask the following shalom based medrash, Hani Abba the Chomesh to Komar, that which we said you take 4 or 5 of these kupos, is that true even if you have lots of guests coming, so you're still limited by these 5? Or do we say no? Hakol for your Archon. For your regular household needs, you can take 4 or 5. But if you have a lot of guests, then you can take even more. Again, this goes according to the opinion of Rav Chisna, who limited it to 5. According to Shmuel, you can take as many as you wanted anyway, as long as you didn't clear the whole field. So therefore, this question doesn't apply, Rashi says. In any event, the Gemara says, V'im timtzi lomar, even if you want to say, Hakol fi orchem, let's assume that the answer is you can take as many as your needs are for orchem. So you can take more than 4 or 5 if you have lots of orchem. So is that chad gavra mefani lekulu? Is one person allowed to take for all the needs of the orchem? Oduma gavra v'gavra mefani lenafshi l'bachet zavav. Or does each person have a maximum of 4 or 5, and another person would have to take another 4 or 5, and another person would have to take another 4 or 5? That's the question he asked in the base medrash. So the Gemara answers, Toshma, bring it right from a brisa. Dama Rabba, Amar Ruchiyah, Rabba said name of Ruchiyah, Pamachas Holoch Rebbe Lemokom Echod. One time Rebbe, the great Yehuda Nasi, went to a place where he was a scholar in residence, and he was going to give a shir. And the place they had set up for giving the shir, he gets there on Friday after it's already Shabbos, and he sees, they show him the place where he's going to give the shir, and he sees it's too small, it's going to be too tight for the Talmidim. So what does he do? The Yotzel Sodom, he goes out to the field, and he says, we'll go give the shir in the field. But however, the field, it's filled with piles of grain. The Imer Rebbe Kolasodukula, and he cleared the entire field. Rashi points out that this was a Carmelis, and therefore he was allowed to go and move all the stuff in the field. Pochus, pochus, midalit amos. This is shvush, lushvush, b'makum mitzvah. It's only the Rabbanan over here in the first place to carry in the karmel. It's only in the Rabbanan that we shouldn't allow you to carry pochus, pochus, midalit amos, because you may come to carry more than dalit amos. So it's a shvush, lushvush, and it's b'makum mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So therefore, Rebbe was able to do this. So what do we see? The Marshal is not glorious, these words, because we're going to have them in a minute, but they're correct. Shema minor, hakol lefiyo orchid. So you see, the Rebbe cleared well more than four or five, because it was a need to. And therefore, you're allowed to hakol lefiyo orchid. It's not a maximum of four or five, no matter how many guests you have. Similarly, another story, Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Oshaya, Pam Achas Holach Rabbi Chia, L'makom Echod. One time Rav Chia went to a place, he was a scholar in residence, V'ruah Mokum Dochel Tamidim. He saw on Shabbos that the place where they had set up the shir would be too tight, there would be not enough room for all the Tamidim to come. V'yotzel saw this, so he also went out to the field and said, I'll give the shir in the field. And he saw the field also, Motzah Sotah Meleya Omrim. He saw the field was piled up with all these piles, all these gatherings of the grain. The Imei Rabbi Chia, Kolos Adekula. And he also cleared the whole field himself. Rashi Pono Esa Omrim, and again the Karmelis Havayi Repokus Pokus Midalat Amos. So he was able to do this; it was perfectly allowable. Shma Mina Hakol Lefiyo Orchim. So we answered our question that we asked: is there a maximum limit of four or five, no matter what? Or if you have lots of guests, you can do more than four or five, even according to Rav Chisda. The answer is from these prices, these stories: yes, you can even do more than four or five if you have a need to, because of Orchim, because of lots of guests, lots of people coming. Okay, so we answered one question. The Gemara says, so we've answered the question that you're allowed to go and clear more than four or five kupos. But does one person have the right to do this, or do you need each person to do the maximum four or five? So you need another person to do another four or five, another person to do another four or five. That question didn't seem to answer. Gemara says, yes, we did. Toshma, vime Rebbe. Rebbe cleared the entire field. So therefore, you see that even one person can go and clear the entire field. More questions that says, well, Taimech, really? You really think so? Rebbe, bin anafshe imer? Rebbe did this all himself? Tosa says over here, Pirish, call us all the kula. You really think the Rebbe did the entire field? Rashi adds on to this, says even stronger. He says, Bismia, b'ki arche de nasi b'hachi. Rebbe Yehuda nasi, he was the nasi of Klai Yisrael. He's going and clearing the field. He had tons of servants. Rebbe is a very rich man. He's going to go out and clear the field all by himself. And even if you want to say he wanted to do the mitzvah himself, to clear the field, to set it up, other people are going to just let Rebbe do it. They're not going to help him. So Gemara says, Elitziva of Imer, he must have commanded people to go, and or they on their own, they went and they helped him clear the field. Ul'olam kol chad b'chad b'fanei l'nashe. And maybe the answer is that Rebbe could only do four or five himself, and he would have to let somebody else do four or five, and let somebody else do four or five. So you can't bring me right from here what the actual practice is. Then we say in the Mishnah, Mipnei Orch v'chule, you're allowed to go clear the field if you have guests, or because of Talmud Torah. You need a space for guests, or you need a space for Talmud Torah. Amar Yochanan, Yochanan says, Gidolach Nosas Orchim Kashkames Beis HaMedrash, that you see the greatness of hosting guests. It's equivalent to getting up early in the morning to go to the Beis Medrash to learn. The Yaivitz, Yaakov Emden, he brings down that it's actually not talking about the guy learning. It's going about the driver, the person who brings people to the Beis Medrash. Even that is a tremendously important thing. And Gedol Achnosis Archim, and the doing the mitzvah Achnosis Archim, is as great as this person who brings people to the Beis Medrash in the morning. Diktani Mifnei Ha'archim, Umipnei Bitl Beis Medrash. Because our Mishnah, Rav Yochanan says, put them both together. So therefore, they're equivalent. However, Rav Dimi Minar Doya Mar No Yoser Miashkomas Beis HaMedrash is even more important to do Achlos Sarchem than even going to the Beis HaMedrash earlier in the morning. Why? Diktani Mipnei Ha'Archem, because first it said Mipnei Ha'Archem, and only afterwards Vahadar does it say Ubimnei Bitul Beis HaMedrash. So as Rashi points out, Ditona Didon Actum Liberation. He put that one first, and therefore that one is more important. It's greater to do Hachnas Zochim than even to accept the Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence. How do we know this? From Avram Avinu, from the famous story when he looks for the Orchim, the Siv, Vayomer. Now, the Yisra we have is with a Hey, which means Hashem, but it's really Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. But it means the same thing when we say it. So we'll say, Vayomer Hashem, Imno Motzasi, Chayim Beinecho, Ano Savor, Me'alav Decho. That's the Gomer. So Avram Avinu sees the guest. He says, so Kadosh Baruch Hu came to visit him after the Bris Mila. He was in the midst of a Bikur Cholim. So So Avraham Avinu says, hey, I have another mitzvah that's even more important than greeting you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's Hatznas Zorchem. Amar Elazar, Borei, Shalok Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Basav Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts very different than an earthly king does. Midas Basav Adam, an earthly king, Ein Katun Yochel Lom Alagoto. On our world over here, a lower person can't tell a higher person, no, wait a minute, Hamtein, Ad She'ovu Etzlecha. You're with the king, and then you have to go take care of some minor business. So you tell the king, do me a favor, wait for me, and I'll go and take care of this minor business, then I'll get back to you. So that doesn't work. You're off with your head will be the response. However, Vilu by Kodesh Baruch Hu, we see over here by Kodesh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu was the Kodesh Baruch Hu came to greet Avraham Avinu, who said, and Avraham tells him, Yomer Aleph Dal Nun Yud. Says, please wait, because I have guests to take care of, and it's more important for me to take care of my guests. So we see from here the tremendous importance in the mitzvah of Hachnas HaSorachim. That segues into this beautiful Agadat HaGemara that we're about to go to discuss. Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Shila, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Yochanan, he tells us, Shisha Dvarim, Adam Ochel Perosim Olam Hazeh, Vakaren Kemis Loli Olam Haba. This should sound familiar, because we bring down a famous Mishnah from Peah that we say every morning after Birchas HaTorah, and we'll see the contrast between these two, and there really is no argument between the two. But first we have the statement of Rav Yochanan. Shisha Dvarim Adam Ochel Perosim Olam Hazeh. There are six things that a person, he gets benefit from them in this world. He gets the payroll, so to say, the interest from them, the progeny from them he gets to eat in this world. But the principle, Karen Kayemes Lo Liolab Haba, the Karen is Kayemislo, the principal will stay with him for all time, the eternity, Lolam Haba. What are these six things that Rav Yochanan has brought down in his name? Ve'eluhein, Hachnas HaSorachim, that's why this is brought in here, the importance of Hachnas HaSorachim, of bringing guests into your house, or Bikur Cholim, the tremendous mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, the Iyun Tfila means to properly concentrate on your Tfila, prepare your Tfila, understand your Tfila. There's a good type of Iyun Tfila, which is this, which you're guaranteed there's going to be the Karen Kayemis, is the Olam Haba, and the Peros are eaten in this world, that's the good Eon Tefillah. There is a bad Eon Tefillah, it says on the side, look in Tosos and a number of other places, where Tosos points out that a person expects to get from his davening certain things, says, I daven great, Hashem, now you owe me, so that's a bad type of Eon Tefillah. Vashkomas Mesa Medrash, and if a person gets up in the morning to go to shul, to learn, to daven, that's a great thing. The Hamagadal Bonav Talmud Torah, one who raises his children for the purposes of learning Torah, that's a great thing. And finally, Adonis Chaveiro Lekav Zuchos, and somebody who judges everyone favorably. And this last thing, Adonis Chaveiro Lekav Zuchos, is going to really be the rest of the Shir after we get through the reconciliation between the Rav Yochanan statement and the famous Mishnah that we have in Peah. So the Gemara gave us these six ideas from Rav Yochanan. And Gemara says, really? Ini? These? The Ha? Anan Tanan? We learned the different set in our Mishnah, in the Mishnah in Peah. El dvarim shalom oseh osem, ochel perosem, olam hazeh, vakarin kayemus oli olam haba. These are the six things over here that we just said from Rav Yochanan. They're not the same things that are said in the Mishnah in Peah. And in fact, there it lists four different things. The Eluhain, kibud avim, number one. That is something for which the Karen is Kayemus Olam Haba, and Gemilus HaSodim, that's number two, Vavo Sholem Inonu Chavero, that's number three, the Talmud Torah Kinegit Kulam, and number four, Talmud Torah is worth all of them, it's the equivalent of all of them. But we didn't say the same six things that Rav Yochanan said, so what's going on over here? So Gemara says, Hani in Midi Achrin Alo, these are the only ones and not the other ones that we mentioned, what's going on over here? So Gemara says, we turn to Yomi Beis, Hani Nami. Now, there are different girsos over here, so we read the girsos with the parentheses first. Haninami b'milas chasadim shaychi. These are included, the ones that Rav Yochanan said, are all included in the rubric of gemilus chasadim. Alternatively, lishnachrina, hani b'hani shayochi, that they're all one interconnected with the other. What do we mean by this? So you look in Rashi. So Rashi tells us, hachnosas orachim uvikr cholim. Those are classical examples of hainu gemilus chasadim. V'yin tefila, likewise, hanu v'chal gemilus chasadim. Why is yin tefila included in gemilus chasadim? So he brings down a pasuk for Mishle to support that. On the other hand, the Marsha says that yin tefila is part of hava shalom, because when a person davens, he brings about shalom between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's bringing peace between this world and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, that is included in Havah Shalom and Olam Chavera. Rashi continues and says, Hashkomas Beis HaMedrash, V'kilu Balam Talmud Torah. So that's Talmud Torah. And Hadonis Chavera L'Kav Zchus, that comes B'chlal Havah Shalom, vein ish vein adam al chaveiro. The mitog shu machriel is chus, because if you consider somebody always to do something in a positive way, not in a negative way, and he says mistama, he didn't sin. Mabalo lo chata li bizos. So then onus haylo, he didn't do it on purpose. He did it by accident. Or the tovin iskavin, he had some positive reasoning for it. So that brings about ye shalom beinehen. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan lefareish lecha osa. The Bechlal Gimel de Masnisin is Nul Hanakvav. So Rav Yochanan's six things are all included in three of the four things that the Mishnah and Peah brings down. And the fourth one, Kibrov Aim, so Rav Yochanan lo Poligla. He doesn't disagree with that. He just didn't mention it because he's mentioning things that wouldn't have been maybe so obvious. In any event, those are the reconciliation over here of Rav Yochanan's six and the Mishnah and Peah's four things. Now the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, we're going to go and discuss this idea of judging everyone favorably. Hadon chaveru lekav schus, if you judge people favorably, so donin osol schus, then they're going to judge you favorably in Shemayim. This is one of the basic principles of Yiddishkeit, of our beautiful Mesorah, in that the way you treat other people is exactly where the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to treat you. If you're mavir amidosov, the Gemara Megillah tells us if a person is mavir amidosov, so then they're going to be mavir al pesha. They're going to go and, you know, look the other way at some of the things that you did. If you look the other way when people do bad things to you, so HaKodesh Baruch Hu is going to look the other way when you do bad things to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. This concept of ha-ne'lovim ve'enu ma'alivim, if people do something to you and you don't take offense to it and you let it slide, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the same to you. That's this idea. If you judge other people favorably, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge you favorably as well. Now it's going to tell us several stories. U'maisa ba'adam echad, there once was a person. The Gemara is going to tell us this was Rabbi Akiva. And he's going to work by Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. And we'll see as the story unfolds. So, what's the story? So, one time, u'maisa ba'adam echad shorad migolil ha'elyon, he went up from the north and he went down south, v'niskar etzel balabayis echo bedorum, and he hired himself out as a worker to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus down in the south. And he hired himself out for 3 years, shalosh shanim. Now the gizud we have is Erev Yom Kippurim, after the 3 years are up, and it's now Erev Yom Kippur, he wants to go back home. On the side it says Erev Horegel, it was before Sukkot. In any event, Amalo, ten li schari, Rabbi Akiva, he's the person, I'll call him Rabbi Akiva all the time, that's what the Mefarshim say who this was, this is Rabbi Akiva, probably before he became Rabbi Akiva, he was just Akiva at this point, and he went to the Balabas over here, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, who was a very rich man, very big Talmud Chacham, and he tells him, ten li schari, please give me my wages for the 3 years that I work for you. Ve'elech v'ozun ishtai ubana, and I'll go home, and I'll support my wife and my children. So he goes to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus and says, pay me. Amalo, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus says, sorry, buddy, ain li ma'os, I don't have any money. Okay, Rabbi Akiva says, you don't have money? Amalo. So he said, ten li peres, so give me fruit. I'll take fruit instead of my wages and money. Amalo, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus says, sorry, ain li, I don't have any fruit. Okay, Rabbi Akiva says, fine, ten li karka, I'll take some land, and I'll sell the land, and this way I'll be whole. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus says, ain li, I'm sorry, I don't have that. So Rabbi Akiva says, okay, ten li behema, give me some animals. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus says, ain li, I don't have. Rabbi Akiva says, okay, ten li karka, because it's also, so give me some goods, give me some pillows and some blankets, and I'll sell those, you know, and that'll be my wages. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus says, sorry, ain li. What does Rabbi Akiva do? He throws his clothing over his shoulder, so to say. He takes his possessions and he leaves. He's very upset. He's depressed. But Rashi says, he's sad, but he doesn't think bad of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. He doesn't say boo. After the regel, Sukkot is over, notal balabais. This is balabais. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus goes and takes Chorbio. He takes all the wages that he owes this Rabbi Akiva. The emo mashve gimel chamor, and he also takes along with him three donkeys laden with food. Echad shel maichal, the echad shel mishta, one with drink, the echad shel minim megodim, one with all sorts of other delicacies. And he halach lo lebeso, and he goes to his house to Rabbi Akiva to go and pay him. Rabbi Akiva is obviously very happy to see him. Achad shel ochlu v'shasu, they eat and drink together. The nosel lo schor, and he paid him. The Yavit says there's no problem over here of agar notar, of not paying the money, because if you can't pay the money, so then it's not a problem. You have to be honest with the worker and say, I can't pay you, then it's not a problem of agar notar, of delaying paying a worker. And it's also not a ribbis problem over here in terms of giving him food and extra stuff, because it wasn't a loan. This was wages. So he wasn't. It wasn't a loan in this situation. So you're allowed to go give a bonus to a worker for doing a good job. So that's mistama what this is. In any event, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus now tests Rabbi Akiva to see what's going on. Amalo, b'shar shomarti li, ten li schari, when you said to me, give me my wages. And I said, Ein limos. And I said, I have no money. What were you thinking? What were you thinking? Was I, were you worried that I was a crook here trying to swindle you? What were you thinking? So Amarti, so Rabbi Akiva said, no, Shema Prachmatya Bizol Nizdamloch. I assumed that you probably had a great deal. You needed cash and you weren't liquid. You didn't have any cash to pay me because I assumed that you had a great business opportunity and used up all your cash to buy this great business opportunity, and that's why you didn't pay me. Where it says, okay, and you purchased them. So then Rabbi Esmond Hyrkinus says to him, knew when you told me, Tainly Behema, give me animals. And I said, I had no animals. What were you thinking then? So Amarti, Rabbi Akiva said, Shema Muskeres Biyad Acherim. I must have assumed that you had rented them out to somebody, and that's why you couldn't give them to me, because they were in somebody else's possession. Rabbi Esmond Hyrkinus continues, and he says, B'shoa Shamaati Li Tainly Karka. When I said, when you, Rabbi Akiva, said, give me property instead, I said, I don't have any karka, so you know I had lots of karka, so what were you thinking then? So Amarti, Rabbi Akiva said, Shema Mukheris Me'adachayim. I assume that you had sharecropped it out to somebody else. A choker is a type of sharecropper, and I assume it's, therefore it's not yours, because the sharecropper who's a choker is paying a flat fee for the field, and therefore he gets to keep all the produce. He can't just take it back. So that's what I thought at that point in time. Then it says, the Bach just leads the word he. And Rabbi Lezmer Yerkes says, when you asked me for peros, and I said, ainly peros, I have no fruits, but what were you thinking then? So Amarti, Rabbi Akiva said, Shema eina meusaros. I assume that they weren't taken off trumas and maisers. Now, why didn't he take them off? So the answer is because Rabbi Akiva was an Am Aretz at that point in time, and he didn't have time to take off trumas and maisers. You're not allowed to give to an Am Aretz untied stuff because he may not take off the tithes. The Marsha brings another reason, says he was just very, very much in a rush. The work wanted to leave, and there wasn't time to take off Trumas and Maestros. In any event, Rabbi Levzin Hurkin says, when you said to me, Ainly Karim Kos Sosos, he asked me for pillows and blankets, and I said, I don't even have those, but what were you thinking about me then? So Amarti, I said, Shema Hikdish Kol Nechos L'Shamayim, maybe you were Makdish all your property to Shemayim, that's why you didn't have anything. Even though I see it, I assumed it wasn't yours. The Mepharshim point out that he could have said this teretz for all of the things above, but we wanted to give a different teretz when there was an alternate answer. Here, there was absolutely no other alternate answer, so he had to say this teretz that he was makdish everything. So the Gemara continues, and he says, Amalei ha'avoda. Rabbi Lezman Herkes says, I swear, Lashon ha'avoda is like a Lashon ha'shvua. Kach ha'yot. That's exactly what happened. He darti kol nechosai bishul Hyrkinus bini. This is Rabbi Lezman Hyrkinus. He had a son, Hyrkinus, who was not on the derech, and therefore he gave all of his property to Hekdish that it should be zuchus, that his son should come back on the derech. Shelo osak b'torah. My son's not learning Torah, and I said, I'll give everything to tzedakah, I'll give everything to Hekdish, if only Hashem you'll make my son come back on the derech. However, I realized this wasn't the proper thing to do. I went to my colleagues who were with me in the south. That's where Rabbi Lezman Hyrkinus was in the Dorum. They said Rabbi Akiva went from the Golol Elyon down to the Dorum to work for Rabbi Lezman Hyrkinus. So retirely called Nadarai. They were matir my Nadarum. And therefore, now I can come and pay you. It's my money again. V'yatah. And now Rabbi Lezman Hyrkinus gives Rabbi Akiva the tremendous bracha. Kishem shedan tani lizchus. Just like you judged me very favorably, Hamakom Yodin Osulushos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should always judge you very favorably as well. Another story. Talking about a Maizm Chosid Echad, we have a story with the Chosid Echad. Rashi says, whenever we have the Lashon of a Chosid Echad, Kol Hechad Damrinan, Maizm Chosid Echad, it means either or Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava or Rebbe Yehuda ben Rebbe Eloy. This is either Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava, who's famous for maintaining Torah learning in Klai Yisrael, or it was Rebbe Yehuda ben Rebbe Eloy. This is the Stam Rebbe Yehuda throughout Shas, is Rebbe Yehuda ben Rebbe Eloy. The Gilyan Hashas brings down over here from a sefer, says Dover Nechman, bring down a beautiful idea from a certain sefer in Birchas HaZevach on Temura, where it's brought down that it wasn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira doesn't hold like some of the things that we're about to have in this story that we're about to say right now, and therefore it's a different Rabbi Yehuda, either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Eloy. In any event, Maisabu, this chosid, Shepoda Riva Achas Bas Yisrael. He redeemed the Jewish girl that had been captured, and he then had to take her home. So he went, Ulamalon, when he went to the hotel to stay overnight, Hishkiva Tachs Margulosov, he kept this young lady in his room. And Lamachar, the next day, when he got up, so before he taught his Talmidim that were with them, so he was giving shir to them, Yarad V'Tavol, he went to the mikveh. which again implies that he had a release of Zera. Vishanal Tamidim, and afterwards he learned with his Tamidim. Omar Lohem, it should be, not Lohen. So Omar Lohem, what were you guys thinking? I want to teach you a point over here. What were you thinking when you saw me keep this young lady in my room overnight, and then I went to go to the mikveh the next morning? When I kept her in my room, what were you thinking? Were you assuming that I was doing something immoral? So they said, Chas v'shalom, Rebbe. Amarnu, no. The Talmidim said, Shema yesh banu talmid she'enu baduk l'Rebbe. We assume that you suspected one of us for acting improper. As Rashi says, she'enu makir b'mindosav, you don't know us well enough, l'smoch alav l'anicho etzlenu, that I should leave this young lady alone in a room by herself, because maybe you suspected one of the Talmidim would do an act of immorality with her. So therefore, we assumed, Rebbe, that's why you kept her in your room. No, the Rebbe continues, and he says, "Bishor shiravati v'tavati." When I went to the mikveh in the morning, didn't you all assume that I had zera? And Mustama, you're all suspecting me for having relations with this young lady. The mechashatuni, what were you suspecting me of then? So Amarnu, they said, "No, shema mipnei torah haderech ira keri." I said, "No, Mustama, you had a nocturnal emission because of the difficulties of the trip, and that's why with chas v'shalom we never would suspect the Rebbe." So therefore, the Rebbe tells them, this Chosid Echad, Yudim Bavar, Yudim Reloi, whoever it was, Amalem Avoda, I swear, Kachoya, that's exactly what happened. And just like Vatem Kishem Shidantuni Lekavsor, since you judge me properly like you're supposed to, Hamokom Yodin Eschem Lekavsor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should judge you favorably as well. One more story. Tana Rabbanon, Pamachas Hutzrach Dovar Echad L'Talmidei Chachomim Eitzel Matrinisa Achas. One time, the Jewish people were in need of something, and they had to go to seek out help from a certain Machnisa Achas. So actually says that she was a Nochris, this is a gracious lady of very high stature, and the people would come to her, and she would intervene on their behalf. She called Gedoli Romi Mitzri Netzla. She was well-connected, and you went to her house so you could meet up with the officials, and she would help you arrange the whatever decrees you needed to get taken care of. So she was the interferer. She was the intercedent for you to go and get the decrees annulled or changed. So Amru, they needed to go to this lady. So they asked, who's going to go to this lady? So mi elech, who's going to go? So Av speaks, Rabbi Yeshua, this is Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. This is the famous Rabbi Yeshua that we have throughout Shas, the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Elezer HaGadol. And the Gemara in Sota tells us that when he passed away, so we lost our best intercedent with the government. He was the one that always would go and intercede on our behalf. So Rabbi Yeshua said, okay, I'll go. Ani elech. No, he goes with his Tamidim. And Holach Rabbi Yeshua v'tamidav. So they go. Kiven Shigia lePesach Beitzah, they reach your house. So what does he do? Cholatz Tfilov Birichut Arba Amos. Rabbi Shua ben Chananya takes off his tefillin when he's 4 amos away from the house. The Nichnas, he enters into the house and he quickly locks the door. V'nuah LaDelos V'vdeim. So the Talmidim can't come in the house. So he's alone in this house with this Matronisa. Achashiotza, after he leaves the house, Yard V'tavol, he goes to the mikvah. Vishan al Talmidim. Then he gives the shiur to Talmidim. So he took care of business. So he questions the Talmidim. Amar lohem, b'shor shechalatzti tefillin. When I took off my tefillin, what were you thinking? What were you thinking that I was doing at that point in time? So Amaru, we said, kusavur Rebbe lo yichansu divrei kedusha b'makom tuma. You didn't want to bring your tefillin to this house of tuma. This is a gracious lady's house. There's lots of tumadika things in there. And you didn't want to put your tefillin on in that house. Just like you don't wear your tefillin in a bathroom. You didn't want to wear your tefillin in this tumadika house. He said, ah, shkoyach. When I locked the door in front of you and didn't let you in, what were you suspecting? So Amarnu, we said, we assumed that you had something of hidden importance that you had to discuss with it that wasn't for our ears. Then he says, when I came out of the house, I went to the mikvah. So you must have assumed I had Zara. So therefore, what were you thinking then? So Amarnu, so the Talmidim said, Shema nitzet tzinora mipio al begodav shel Rebbe. We assume that some spittle came out from her mouth, and therefore you have to go to the mikvah. As Rashi brings down, roke, the roke of a goy, the chachamim will go there, that their roke should be like the roke of a zav, and l'chodivrei for all dinim, and therefore you were metame. And therefore, that's why you have to go down to the mikvah and be tovel. And amalem, avoda. So, he tells him, yes, Rabbi Shua says, I swear, that's exactly what happened. Kachaya, that's, you're 100% right. You judged me favorably, and that was exactly what happened. V'atem, and just like, Yishem Shadantuni L'schus, just like you judged me favorably, Hamokom Yodin Eschem L'schus, that Kodesh Baruch Hu should judge you favorably as well. So we learn from these three beautiful stories the tremendous importance that we should always judge a person L'kav L'schus. And even when you can't, if the person's a Talmud Chacham, he's an Erlich person, you have to assume that even though he may have done a sin, that he did tshuva right away, and therefore you have to judge him favorably even in that situation. Fascinating stories. Gemara now quotes the Mishnah, which said, Mufan and Truma Tahora v'chule, gave us a whole list of things that you are allowed to go and move on Shabbos, and then it gave us a whole list of things that you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. Now, the list of things that you're allowed to move on Shabbos, all of them sound pasher, all of them sound straightforward, and the list of things that you're not allowed to move, they all sound like they're pure moksa, so they all sound pasher also, that you shouldn't move them. What's the chiddush of each one? I said we would get to this type of a Gemara with these types of things that are very similar to each other is found in many places in Shas where we have all of these specific things, both for good and for bad, so to say, that you would think that you're obviously allowed to use them or obviously not allowed to use them. They're all the same ideas expressed many times in Shas. So here we'll see what we're talking about. Gemara says the first one is you're allowed to take Truma that's Tahora and move it on Shabbos. Gemara says Pshita, why not? It's perfectly Roy for Kohanim. Where says Lotzricha, the chiddush over here is the moncha biyad Yisrael, that a non kohen happens to have this truma, and therefore you might have thought mal de tema kiven the lochaz yolei, since this non kohen is not allowed to eat this truma, so then I might have thought maybe it's also for him to move it. So the chiddush of our mishnah was kiven the chazil kohen, since a kohen could use it, so even though you can't as a Yisrael, nevertheless shapidam you're allowed to move it because somebody is able to use it, even if you're not the one that's able to use it. Similarly, Dumai v'chule, he said you can move Dumai. Dumai is, we're not sure what its status is, Duma, that it was owned by an Amar Aretz, and the majority of Amaratzim, we said, did take off Trumas Amaisis, but there was a minority that didn't. Therefore, the rabbis would go there, that when you purchase something that's from an Amar Aretz, you have to retake off Trumas Amaisis. This is called Dumai. Now, Dumai has to have Trumas Amaisis taken from it. So Gemara says, Demai, halochazile. So you're not allowed to use it because you're not allowed to take off Trumas Amaisis on Shabbos. That's called Masakin Manu. You're fixing it. And Midi Rabbani, you're not allowed to go and do that. So therefore, how come you're allowed to move the Demai? So Gemara says, no. Kivon di boy, mafkalele nechosi, because if a person wished to, he could go and be mafkalele nechosi, and then he becomes a poor person. Babiani, he's now impoverished. The chazile, and Demai is allowed to be eaten by a poor person. So too, hashtanani chazile. Therefore, since if he wanted to, he could be mafkalele nechosi and make this Demai edible for him, so therefore, it's considered edible right now, even before, and even if he doesn't go and mafkalele nechosi. Where do we know this is true? Did not. We learned this more in Brachos and other places as well. Machilines Swaniim Demai, you're allowed to go feed a poor person Demai without taking off Trumas Amaisis from it again. Likewise, Vesach Sanya Demai, you can feed a legion of troops, a garrison of troops that you're obligated to go and feed them. So Rashi says this is Chel Shemelch Yisrael, Umatilu al Bnei Ha'ir Lefarnasan. So this is the quartering that we talk about in the Constitution of the United States, that you may be under certain situations required to go and support the troops by giving them a place to stay and food to eat. So therefore, you can feed them Demai. And this is further proven by Rav Huna. V'am Rav Huna, Tana, we learned in a brisa, Beishami Yomim, Ein Machil, and Esu Aniyim Demai, Esu Achsani Demai. Beishami's opinion is, no, you're not allowed to do this. You can't give the Aniyim or the garrison of troops a food that is Demai. Basil Omrim, no, you're allowed to. Machil and Saniyim Demai, Vesach Sani Demai. Basil's opinion is the one that we brought down, and you're allowed to do that, and therefore this Demai is considered Roy, and therefore you can move it on Shabbos. Then it said, Umaisa Risho, Shinit L'Trumas V'chule, if you took off the Trumas Maisa from your Maisa Risho, the Levi gets 1/10, and he has to give 1/10 of that to the Kohen, so then you're allowed to go and move that. Shmuel says, Pshita, obviously, why not? It's perfectly good food. Shmuel says, Lo Tzricha, the Chiddush over here is, Shektimu Bishibolim. What happened over here? The Levi is not supposed to take first. He's first supposed to give Bikurim, then he's supposed to give the Truma to the Kohen, and then you give the Maaser Rishon to the Levi. But while it was still in the stalks, the Levi went to the owner and said, "Nu, can you give me the Maaser Rishon now?" And the Levi took the Maaser Rishon. So he took his tenth before the Kohen got the Truma that the Kohen's entitled to, the Truma Gedola. So the Chiddush over here is that even though the Levi didn't take off Truma Gedola, and he only has to take off Trumas Meiser, that is still good. It's considered that it's not Tevel, and therefore, since he took off the Trumas Meiser, this is no longer considered Tevel. This is considered perfectly edible Meiser Rishon, and that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. And this is V'chihod Amar Rabbi Avo. This is like what Rabbi Avo said. We had this in Gemara in Brachos as well, and in other places. Amar Rish Lakish, Rabbi Avo said, in the name of Rish Lakish, Maaser Rishon Shekdimo B'Shibolim, if you took the Maaser Rishon while it was still in the stalks, part to be Truma Gedola, then there is no din of Truma Gedola on this. You have to give Trumas Maaser, but you don't give Truma Gedola. How do we know the Shenema? Because the pasuk says, Barimosa Mimenu Trumas Hashem. Maaser Min HaMaaser. We just had this in the Parsha a few weeks ago. So it said that you go take off Truma from the Maaser Rishon, but it's only Trumas Maaser that you take off. Only Trumas Maaser you take off. Amarti L'cha, the low Truma Gedola, the Trumas Maaser Min HaMaaser. In this situation where the Levi chopped and he took the Maaser Rishon before the Kohen got his Truma Gedola, while it was in the Shibolim, while it was still in the stalk stage, hadn't been piled up yet, so then you only have to take off the Trumas Maaser, the Maaser Min HaMaaser, and you're not Mechuyev to take off the Truma Gedola. Amli Rapabli Abaye, so Rapabli asks Abaye, if this is so, Ihochi, Afilu Hikdima Bakri, Nami, leave part there. So then, even if it's in the piles, he should also, if the Levi took it first, once it was in the piles, so then he should also be potter from taking off Truma Gedola, and should just have to take off the Maisim and the Maisim, Trumas Maisim. So that's where Rapabli asks Abaye. Amalei, Abaye says back to him, about you, Alecha Amakra. That's why the Pasuk, they knew that people would ask this good question that you're asking, so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the Pasuk. It says, Mikol Matnoseichem Tarimu Vegomer, that from all of your matanos you have to take off Truma Gedola. And this includes the Maaser Rishon that was already in the piles. So then if the Levi chops it, he has to give not only Trumas Maaser, but he also has to take off Truma Gedola. So first he'll take off the 2% that he has to take off of Truma Gedola, and then from the remainder he'll take off 1/10 and give that to the Kohen as Trumas Maaser. So that's how Abaye learned the two different psukim. One is to tell us that if it was in the stalks, well, still in the shibolim, so then you part it from Truma Gedola and just give Truma Smicer. But if it's already piled up, so then you have to give both Truma Gedola and Truma Smicer. So Gemara says, well, Mari Isa, why did you learn it this way? Why not learn it the other way? Maybe if it's in the stalks, you have to give both, and if it's in the piled up stage, maybe you only have to give Truma Smicer. Gemara says, no, Hayidgan v'haylo idgan, because in the first scenario, it wasn't yet Mechuyev in Trumas Maaser. It was too early. So certainly, in the earlier stage, it's possible that you only have to take off Trumas Maaser when the Levi gets it. So you only have to take off Trumas Maaser because it wasn't yet Mechuyev in Truma Gedola. But in the second stage, when it's piled up, it's already Mechuyev. It's already called Dogon. It's idgan. And therefore, in that situation, even though the Levi chopped it and took the Maaser Rishon and thinks he's going to get away with just giving Trumas Maaser, no, he has to give Truma Gedola and Trumas Maaser. Finally, we had Umaiser Sheni, Vechule, if it was redeemed, or the heck, if she was redeemed, so then you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Gemara says, Pshita, obviously it's perfectly good. Gemara says, Lo, Tzricha, we need to tell us this. Shenosin is a Karen. He redeemed it by paying the principal. But when you're redeeming Maiser Sheni that's your own, or you're dealing Hektish that's your own, you have to add on a fifth, which is a fourth, really, from the inside. You didn't pay the fifth. So let's say it was $100, and you have to redeem it. So he just paid back the $100, but he didn't pay back the fifth, which is really the fourth, the other $25. So fourth from the inside, and it's a fifth from the outside. The whole thing is $125, so 25 is a fifth of that. When you looked at it at 100, it's a fourth. That's the $25. So in this situation, he had redeemed the principal, but he didn't redeem back the chomesh. So our kamashal and the chiddush is, they ain't chomesh ma'akev. The chomesh doesn't make it not usable. While you still have to pay the chomesh, but right now it's considered redeemed, the Maaser Sheni or the Hekdish, and you can use it, and therefore that's where you can move it on Shabbos. And finally, the last thing that we said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to move, Aturmus, these lupines that are dried, they are animal fodder, and therefore they're not considered muktza. So why is this so? So Dafka Yovish, it's only the ones that are dried out. The animals eat those. Avolach, if they're moist, still low. They're not considered food, and therefore the animals won't eat them, and therefore they're not allowed to be moved. My time up, why won't the animals eat them when they're moist? Even the Mare, because they're very bitter, actually says, Shumar, lo ochla, even the animals won't eat it. Therefore, it's not even considered animal fodder, and it's not considered something that is roi for anybody, and therefore it is muktzah. With this, we conclude today's shir.